We hope, Bez Hashem, to finish Perik Aleph. In the Rebbele Apian, interestingly, brings in a Sefer Leva Liyohu, Nechelik Aleph, towards the end, which is Shvivei Lev. Rebbele Apian brings down, and he says that Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm, the altar of Kelm, used to say that he said that it's certain that Ramchal had Ruch HaKodesh. He says, why? Because after all, he was Mechaber the Sefer Mesilas Yishorim to show people how to reach Ruch HaKodesh. So the Alter from Kelm used to say, Moshe Lomad Over Doime, he says to a carpenter that's teaching others how to make a table. So Hayal al-Adas, that this carpenter never made a table himself. And Koshkin, if someone is a contractor, is teaching people how to build houses. Is it a Havimir that he himself never had the experience of building a house? So Bavadai, similarly, if someone is teaching you how to reach the Madrega of Ruach HaKodesh, so one can assume that Ramchal certainly, before he taught how to reach Ruach HaKodesh, that he himself already reached, in fact, that madrega. The Sefer called Agoin HaChosid Mivilne. Throughout the years, various biographies were written from the Goyin. Among them, many years ago, a wonderful biography was written by Rabbi Tzala Landau. The Sefer Agoin HaChosid Mivilne brings down that in the Akdoma there was a Odom Godel by the name of Rav Maltzon. He writes in the Akdoma to the Sefer Derech Hashem, which is printed in Yerushalayim, Tofresh Ayin Dalad, which is 1914. And he writes there, Shomati, Kashehisig Agrozal, when the Goyin, when he received the first time, he says, Kizve HaRamchal Al HaIdra Rabo. Idra Rabo is a particular section of the Zohar HaKodesh. When the Goyin received the Ksovim of the Ramchal on the Idra Rabo, he slabish be big deyontif lechvoidoi. He put on big deyontif for this great simcha, lechvoidoi v'simchosoi. And he brings there that v'kama mikizve haramchal shenit v'su ato, that many, in fact, many of the ksovim of the Ramchal that were printed today, this is going back many years ago, he sigu oisam, they were able to receive them, ma'oitzer svarov shel ha'goyin shoyegnuzim sham. They got it from the goyin. The Goyin himself made sure that he has these ksavim, and subsequently the ksavim later on that were printed were from the Oitzes Svarav Shel HaGoyin. Kakosu B'Pesach HaShar Shel Sefer is written on the title page, Pischei Tvunois V'Das. Mefursam Adover. And then he writes, something we already mentioned, V'chein Shemati Mikdoilim, Ki B'Pam HaRishin Sheyotza Sefer M'Msilas Yishorim L'Yor, the very first time that the Sefer M'Msilas Yishorim came out when it was printed, first printed, Omar HaGrozal, so the Goyin said, Ki hoifia oir chodesh al pnei tevel, that a new light came upon the world. Omar, he said, Ilu hoi haramchal zal bechayim, hoi hoilech biraglov lekabul ponov. He would walk by foot in order to be bimkabul ponov ramchal. Well, the Goyin chavivis ha-sefer, to show his great chavivis and appreciation, nosem badai dinar zoav, he gave a gold coin, which was at that time was a lot of money. She nechshav sach rav biyomim oheim, V'chein shomati shoyirogil lachzer olav harbe, that the Goyin not only learned the Mesilas Yishorim, but he chazered it over many, many times. Interesting, there was a sefer printed quite a number of years ago, which is called HaTzadik Reb Yosef Zundel Misalant, Reb Zundel Salanter. So it's brought down there that Reb Naftali Amsterdam, the great Baal Musar, Reb Naftali Amsterdam, was one of the Choshev Talmidim of Reb Sol Salanter. So he writes as follows. Rav Naftali Amsterdam writes, Shero ben Kizve, Rabbi Yosef Zundel, that he saw among the Ksavim of Rabbi Yosef Zundel, Shailish Yishoel, Rabbi Yosef Zundel, Esagrach Mevelozhin. Very interesting. Rabbi Yosef Zundel once asked a Shaila from Rabbi Chaim Velozhin, Behipardim Memena, when he departed from him. So Rabbi Yosef Zundel asked a Shaila from Rabbi Chaim Velozhin, Eze Sefer Musar Toiv Lasik. What is a good Musar Sefer that one should involve himself with, to learn? He answered, he said like this, the truth is, kol sifrei musar toiv lilmoid. The emes is all Sifra Musar are good to learn. Ach, Sefer Mesilas Yeshurim Yim and Ahaloch. That should be your guide. Your guide should be the Sefer Mesilas Yeshurim. And in fact, the Omnom Hagoyin Rabbi Yosef Zundel, Kibel Olof is Divrei Rabbi Yela, he was Mekabel the words of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, and Umbekama Mekoyim is Biksovim, and many places in this Ksovim on Omoitzim we find, Shum Mezarez Le Talmidov, that he's encouraging his Talmidov, Umetzav Aleim, Lilmoid Bikfias, to learn, he says, Mesilas Yeshurim. So now, Rabbi Yisai, we're going to conclude, as we say, the last part of Perek Aleph in the Mesilas Yesharim. I believe we left with the words, Nimtzinu Lemedim, if you can find it. It's towards the end already, where the Ramchal is telling us, Nimtzinu Lemedim, that basically that we learn from all of this that has been said, that Ki'ikar Metzias Odom Boilom Hazeh, that the main purpose that a person, Bechlal, finds himself on this world, he says, Hurak Lekayim Mitzvahs, our existence in this world is only solely to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, Velavoid, and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Velamoid B'nisoyin, and to overcome tribulations. In other words, a person sometimes says to himself, it's so hard, it's so difficult. He doesn't understand that that itself is the purpose. Because the more difficult it is, and the more challenges in his way, and when he's able, he has his chus and the siyata dishmai to overcome those challenges, he becomes elevated all the more. And his neshama becomes sanctified and becomes greater, and in that sense, he's mekabel more schar b'loilam habo. So in fact, all of the nisyonis and all the challenges, as he points out, these three things, he's here to be mekayim mitzvahs, he says, v'lavoid, v'lamoid b'nisoyin. This is the idea, is to do mitzvahs and to overcome the nisyonis. By the way, when he says that our purpose in this world is Lamed B'Nisoyin, to stand in front of tests, different kind of tests, that's our purpose. Do we not say in the davening every day, we say, Beferish, we're mispalol in the morning, we say, Al Tiviyeni L'Dei Nisoyin. We say, Rabbi Nishloilam, do not bring me to any tests. Don't tempt me. Al Tiviyeni L'Dei Nisoyin. So we are, in fact, we are mispalol every morning, we pray, we are mispalol, we ask the Kodesh Baruch, do not bring me to a Nisoyin. And yet, how do we understand where the Ramchal says that in fact, that is our purpose here. Our metzias, our existence in Olam Hazeh, is to be able to withstand all of the different nisyonis. That we are here to have nisyonis and to overcome them. That's our job. That's our tafkid. And yet, on the other side, we have a spalal and we say, Al Tivyeinu L'Dei Nisoyim. So, Bcheskel Sarna, Rashiv of Chevron, so he pointed out and he said, that there's no shaila, he says, there's no question. He says, Mitzarechot Avadil Ramchal is telling us that this is our existence in this world. We have not come here, he says, for a joy ride, for a free ride. He says, Rebbe Lapyan says many times that this world is an expensive hotel, he says. He says, when you check out, when you leave, after 120 years, there's a big bill to be paid here. So you got to make sure that you have the wherewithal to pay, because there's going to be an accounting held here. So here we are in this world, there are Nisyonis. Of course there are Nisyonis. And we are here. This is our test, this is our avoided, this is our job, this is our tafkid. What we are mispalel is, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't throw any nisyonis in our way. Can't be, as we see in Ramchal. What we are being mispalel is, that Rabbeinu Shloilam should only give us tests according to our ability. Many times we find ourselves being challenged by overwhelming situations, by overwhelming challenges. We find ourselves confronted by obstacles that seem to be so insurmountable. But we are mispal, Rabbi Shom, only give me those type of tests that I am bekoyach to withstand. And that means that each and every person, therefore, has different abilities, different capabilities, has different stamina, has different strengths, different ways, different power, different understanding, depending where he is, bechlal, in his level of Avodas Hashem. So, of course, he has more or less. And therefore, each person, according to his position, according to his own situation, those nisyonis will be tailor-made for him. That's what we're being mispalel. The Rebbeinu Shloim, do not throw me any nisyonis that I am incapable of keeping and to be able to withstand. And in fact, the very first test, which was the nisyon given to the Marishan, obviously was a test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did give him the ability to withstand, and yet he defaulted. He defaulted. He allowed himself to be seduced and be tempted by the Nochesh, by the serpent. And as a result, what happens subsequent to that, very interesting, is that if you are defaulting on those nisyonis that you had the ability, then one thing then brings another, and you have an avalanche of all types of different nisyonis that sometimes are even beyond your control. Being to the fact that you did not use your power and your koyach to be able to withstand those nisyonis that you could have. And Ramela, so this is the idea here. That our avoid, as he says, is here in this world, of course, to be mekayim mitzvahs. The hanoas ha'olam, he says. And in fact, he says, the pleasures of this world, ein ruish yoloi, we should only use the pleasures of this world for one purpose. And that is elo le'ezer ul'siyua bilvad. That should be here to aid us and to assist the person in his career in avodas Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The she'yiloi nachas ruach v'shuvadas, in order to give him contentment and peace of mind. That is the sole purpose of the hanoas ha'olam hazeh. All to be an aid, to be a mesayeya, something to help him. He should have comfort in Yeshua Das, Laman Yuchal Lifnes Liboy, in order that he should be able to direct his attention and to focus on Avoida Hazoy Samutelas Olav. To be able to focus to the Avoida Hashem, which is in fact his responsibility. That's what it is. So all this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, on the one hand, is to be able to utilize these tools in all the situations. And if there's any comfort in this world that we are able to enjoy, it should be for the purpose that we should utilize that and give ourselves more koyach and more power and a greater ability to enhance our ability to be able to serve Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he continues finally and he says, V'yomnom, and in fact, of course, he says, Ruyaloi, it is the most appropriate. Shitiya kol piniyosoi, Raki says, La haboyri yizborach. That a person's attention should be really focused and really should be directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shol yiloi shum tachlis acher. This is the avodas. It's not a simple situation. This takes years and years of study and practice. The idea where a person is able to look at this world and say, I am only here for this purpose. And to focus my attention, there should not be no other purpose. Bechol ma'aseh she'yaseh. Whatever you do, try to direct it in a way to always bring out a greater either kavod shemayim, a greater kiddush Hashem, a greater service to Hashem, whether it's im kotnim im godol, whether it's a lesser ma'aseh, whether it's a greater ma'aseh, a bigger or smaller, doesn't make a difference. Whatever you do, the purpose of what you do should be el hiskarev elav yizborach. It should be for the purpose to bring one closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and v'lishbor kol hamechitzos hamafsikos bein lebein koino. And we should be able to break through all the barriers that separate him from his master. Because the fact is, there are so many different challenges, there's so many different things that stand in the way of allowing a person to elevate his material being, that he becomes a spiritual being, to transform his body, his earthly being, into a heavenly being. So this itself is part of the avoda, to break all of those barriers that stand in the way. What are those barriers? What are they? So he says, hein heino. What it means is, you know what the barriers are? Called inyone ha-chumriyos v'hatoli behem. It means to overcome all material elements, he says, and whatever is dependent upon them. Ad she'yimshach achrav yizborach. To the point that he'll actually become drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means is, that, as the Chovas of Ovis tells us, that the truth is there are two entities. There's Olam Hazeh, there's Olam Haba. He said you can't have both. And you have to make a choice, he says. These are two contradictory factors. If you want to enjoy Olam Hazeh for the sake of Olam Hazeh, you're going to be distanced from Olam Haba. The more a person distances himself from indulging in Olam Hazeh in earthly and material things, the more then he'll be drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because once his neshama and his body feels that taste and feels the holiness, it feels the kedusha, so now he becomes drawn and he tells you know how far you'll be drawn. You won't believe it, he says. In the beginning, he says, it's an avoid, it'll be a difficult task, a difficult job. But then all of a sudden, you'll be dragged, you'll feel you're being pulled. You're being pulled to Kedusha. You'll be attracted to Kedusha to the point, he says, Mamish kebarzel achar even hasheyevis. He says, it'll actually be similar, he says, to a magnet. Even hasheyevis is the old word as one is used, you know, you have all these modern things today. This is old Hebrew. Even hasheyevis is, which draws, the stone that draws, which is the magnet. Like the metal, barzalacha evna shevis, which is, you see the Ramchal, you see a madrega of a person, you can imagine how he must have felt and what type of madrega that he was. Where a person in such a matzah, in such a madrega, where he actually is drawn in the same way that we are drawn by our earthly desires, by our natural instincts, which is the drive of nature, and we are torn, and we are forced to try to hold back. It's a possibility for a person to live his life in this world just the opposite, that he's drawn and he's attracted and he's pulled to Kedusha. His heart yearns for Kedusha. He just wants to become closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is what he needs. That's what he feels. And this is what he understands. And a person who understands this, he says, Kol Mashi Yuchalachshoiv. It means a person, you know, who is looking for this career. Look, when a person is opening a business and you want to succeed in a business, so what is your mind occupied with? Your mind is occupied with whatever comes your way. You're saying to yourself, is this going to help my business or not? If it is, you're going to pursue it. If not, you're going to drop it. And so 24 hours a day, you're building your business. If this is really what's important to you, that's what you focus on. So all the time your mind is occupied in doing things and pursuing to make your business better. How much more, says the Ramchal, should this be, and in fact is such, when a person's business is Avodas Hashem? When a person's business is to become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get him close, that you'll be thinking of anything that you feel can promote that, you're going to go after that. Because this is important to you. This is what Ramchal says, that you reach a madrega that v'chol ma sheyuchal achshev, that whatever you believe, shehu emtsoi, that this is another means, he says, l'kir v'hazois, to achieve this closeness, yirdach apra. You're going to, in fact, pursue that. The yoichas boy, and you're going to take hold of it, you're going to grab it, below your payu, and never release it. You see, these are two things. Many, many times, we chase after something, we pursue it, and we manage to grab hold of it. But guess what? But then we lose it. So there's two madregas. One madrega is to pursue it, and ultimately, when you achieve it, and you have grab hold of it, but then make sure that you don't lose it, you're able to hold on to it. These are two separate avodas, as he says. One is to be able to reach it, and the second is below your payu. So Sholem Shadon used to once say, said, never understood. He says, never, he saw a soccer game, he says. He never understood the logic behind the soccer game. So he didn't understand what this was, so he says like this. I see this particular person, he says, using all his might, all his energy, he says, to run, to chase after a ball. Finally he has it, he kicks it away from him, he says. He doesn't understand. Here he was working for 5 minutes, running, chasing after the ball. Finally he pursues it, he gets it, he kicks it away. But you were just running after it. This is what Ramchal says. Many times you happen to reach hold of something and grab hold of something, but then you lose it just as quickly. So that's the idea. Yer devachre, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, this should not happen. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, you pursue it, v'yoichas boy, and then grab hold of it, but below your payu. Don't release it. And whatever you believe will stand in your way, you don't allow anything to stand in your way. Yivrach memenu, you will flee. Right, you will flee and you will run away. Look at an attitude. Everybody understands what it means when you see a fire. You don't need much to cause you to flee, to run away. You sense the danger. Tzaddik, a person, Oved Hashem, an aveira to him is as dangerous as fire. Fire is dangerous to the body. An aveira, sin, is dangerous to the neshama. What's more important? It's the neshama. That's his eternal life. Body is just here temporarily. And therefore says Ramchal, that when a person, during his career, during his lifetime, he sees things that try to stand in the way as a barrier, and which tries to prevent him from reaching and attaining that madrega that he's pursuing. He will run away, he'll flee. What he means is from all the different material things and all the different temptations. He'll flee, not stam, he'll flee, not plainly, but kebereach menoesh, he says. It gives you the ultimate example. Fleeing as one actually flees from fire, he says. Ukein shenemar, and as the Potik says in Tehillim, Dovko nafshi achrecho. David HaMelech says, my neshama, my soul cleaves after you. This is what Ramchal says. This is David HaMelech speaking. David HaMelech is talking about, and again, as we mentioned many times, David HaMelech is a melech b'Yisrael. As a king b'Yisrael, he had all the opportunities of all the worldly pleasures he could have had at his fingertips. He's a king. He's royal. He's mighty. David HaMelech says, no, that's not what I'm looking for. My neshama, he says, is cleaving after you. Dovko nafshi achrecho. That is what I'm pursuing. That's what I'm attracted to. My neshama is cleaving after you. Be tomcha yiminecha. It's your right hand. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu. Your right hand supports me. Kivim shibiyose l'yoylon. And all of this is because, again, because man's only purpose, eino elo l'tachlis hazeh, is to attain this closeness. The hainos, we said, l'hasig yisa kirva hazois, is in order to be able to reach and to achieve this closeness. And therefore a person has to make sure to remove all the things that will obstruct that aim and will distract the person from that aim. In other words, as is pointed out by some of the Mefarshim, and say he talks about two things. In order to achieve closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, you notice what he says, you will pursue it, you will work, and he also mentions, in other words, there's the Asei Toiv part, which is to do the positive things, to do the positive mitzvahs, to do the commandments, to do all the mitzvahs that you're supposed to do. But then there's also the Sur Mera. You have to distance yourself from bad. You have to distance yourself from evil. So there's two aspects. Sur Mera, remove yourself from that which is that which is no good. And of course, there's the Asei Toiv. But as great as Asei Toiv is, as important it is to do what's right, it's equally important is to be successful in doing what's right. There should be meaning in doing what's right, that you're doing what's right by distancing yourself from that which is not right. That is b'maltoi nafshoi. That is referring when a person is removing his nefesh, is protecting his nefesh, we call moineo mafsideo, things that actually obstruct, things that actually will ruin your life. That is the area of Sur Mera. And that becomes evident when it comes to the mitzvah Sfiras Omer, to Matan Torah. Matan Torah, of course, he didn't just jump into Matan Torah. You have the counting the Sfira, you count the 49 days, 50 days, up to Matan Torah. So you're counting from Yitzis Mitzrayim to Sfira. Now you notice how the Loshon of Sfira is. We count down, or we count away, do we count to? We don't say today is 49 days, right? And then the next day, there's only 48 days to Matan Torah. We count from where we left. We say this is the first day of the Yomer, meaning the first day out of Mitzrayim, the second day out of Mitzrayim, the third day. Because Kabbalah Satorah only have that much meaning as much to the degree that you have distanced yourself from Tumas Mitzrayim, right? From the evil of Mitzrayim, and from the defilement of Mitzrayim, and from Tumas Mitzrayim. That's the way we count it. What is Tumas Mitzrayim? What's Tumas Mitzrayim? What are we trying to distance ourselves? Tumas Mitzrayim is another metaphor for materialism. Tumas Mitzrayim is another moshel for chumrius. As the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Yecheskel Chof Gimel says, Ashe besar chamoyrim besorom. So Mitzrayim is described as chamoyrim. Chamoyr is from Loshon chumrius, which that is materialistic, earthly, living earthly. That was the Sur Mera. Before we were ready to mekabel the Torah, we had to distance ourselves from the Tumas Mitzrayim, from the contamination of Mitzrayim. That's how we count our sphere. How many days away from Tumas Mitzrayim? How many days away? That is the avoider. So you want to be zoiche lahasik esakurva hazois b'maltin afshar. You have to make sure to protect yourself mikol moineo mafsideo. So now, finally, says Ramchal in this last paragraph that we have here. Bene acha sheyodano. He says now. Finally, he says that we know he's barat sleino amitis haklal hazeh. Now we have classified and we have clarified the truth. He says, of this principle, right, which means what is the duty of a person in this world, as we just pointed out. The duty of this world, as he said again, is to utilize everything in Olam Hazeh towards his goal of Olam Habo. So now that you know what your goal is, Yesh lanu lachkar al protof. So now what our job is to examine in details how to do it. First you have to know what we're looking for. What is your goal? Now that you've defined your goal, now you have to find and look at the ways and learn the ways how to achieve that goal. So therefore, says Ramchal, he's giving you now the introduction to what's going to come up now in the next prokim, the next chapter, and the chapters to follow. Because in this chapter, which is Perik Aleph, Ramchal first told us, what is Chayv HaSo'odom Bo'ilomoy? What is your Chayv? Now that I've told you what your Chayv is, what you should be looking for, what you should be striving for. So now, Yesh Lanu Lachkar Al Protov, now you should investigate and examine the details, the Fi Madre Groseyem, the details in accordance with their levels. In other words, you start from the beginning, working your way up to the end. Mitchilas Adovra Vatsoifoi, Kemoshe Sidrom Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer. As they were formulated by Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer, as we know, B'mamar Shaloi. In his famous, famous teaching that he said in Masechtas of Edizorah Dav Chof, Shehivanu Kvar, that we already brought before Bahagdomoseinu in our introduction. And again, what are the things? And we start from lower to higher. But right, till we reach the ultimate, you're climbing a ladder, you're starting on the lowest rung. So you start, as he pointed out again, Vehem Hazahirus. The first thing is that a person is supposed to have in any career, in Avodas Hashem, to pursue a career, you start with Zahirus. Zahirus basically means alertness, watchfulness. A person has to be sure. You can't go blindly. A person living in this world has to have his eyes open to know what is dangerous to his neshama, what is dangerous to his soul. Just like a person, if he knows, imagine when you're going on a particular road and you have a sign that says, warning, danger. Right? Say, warning, danger. and you have to go on that road, you're going to keep your eyes open for all the potholes and all the holes and all the pitfalls. You're going to make sure. You're not going to blindfold yourself. It's very dangerous. This world is a dangerous place for the neshama. And that's why the first thing is zehiris. You have to be alert. You have to be watchful. Vigilance. The next thing is rizis. Rizis basically is a person should have eagerness. A person comes to do a mitzvah, you don't just do it. You must have an excitement. You should be feel exhilarated. You're standing before a Kodesh Baruch, you're standing before a Melech Malcha Malkin, the King of Kings. You have the opportunity to serve Hashem. That's rizis. This has to be done with alacrity. It has to be done with a readiness. Then hanikias, cleanliness. You have to do it with purity, as we spoke out. If you want to do a mitzvah, you can't do a mitzvah, you know, and you are filthy. Filthy meaning spiritually filthy. Certainly there's an aspect also physically, cleanliness also. We know the halachas of washing one's hands before one davens, right? That's the halacha. The person is supposed to wash his hands. And so on, nikias. So this applies to all areas, but the Ramchal will discuss in the chapter on nikias, in the perek on nikias, the details of nikias. And then comes precious, that's abstinence. That's abstinence. That's where persons be able to hold back and not to succumb just because he desires it. That's an avoide. That's something the person should strive for, and this is essential, as we see in the role and in the various levels. So we have precious, which is abstinence. And finally, the next step will lead to tahara. You'll come to purity, and then in the chassidus, which is piety, and anova. Anova means humility. Yiraschet, fear of an avera. Fear of sin. And ultimately, after that, we'll come to Kiddushin. So as he says, this is the Brice of Rabbi Pinchas Ben-Yor, who gave us the formula of the ladder from down to, from lower to higher. And as he points out, Va'ato nevo'arem echod echod b'siyata dishmai, we will now explain them one by one. He said, b'siyata dishmai, with the help of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he said, we'll explain it. So that, as Hashem, we will start next week. So upon him, so we have here, the Ramchal, we'll just take a look here at a number of items. Ramchal first brought down, he said, from Dovin HaMelech, he's brought down, Dovko Nafshi Achrecho. Dovin HaMelech says, my soul, right? My soul is pasha, drawn to you. My neshama is attached to you. Dovko Nafshi Achrecho. And it says, Bi Tomcho Yiminecho, that your right hand supports me. It's kedai to mention the words of the Alshech. Fascinating words, something that we touched upon a little bit last week. But the Lashon of the Alshech is, he says like this. He says, the truth is, if it says Dovko Nafshi, it's very dangerous tefillah. The Ramela says, Dovko Nafshi, my neshama should become attracted to cleave. Guess what? If the neshama cleaves to Hashem, it will not remain in the body. Because ultimately, the pleasure that the neshama has, its ultimate pleasure to be close to Hashem. The neshama in the human body finds itself like in a prison. It is jailed, it is imprisoned. It's in a place which is the antithesis of what the neshama stands for. And Ramela, as the Ramchal already said before, the neshama has tsar, the neshama finds itself pain. And the Ramelech says, Dovko Nafshi, I want my neshama to cleave to you, Hashem. That'll be very dangerous, he says. And I quote you the Lashon of the Alshech HaKodesh. The Alshech HaKodesh lived 4 centuries ago. The time, of course, of the Beis Yosef, the time of the Arizal, they all lived in Tzfas. You know, whereas the Beis Yosef was the Rav, was the Poisik, and the Arizal, of course, was the great Baal Mekubal. The Alshech was the Magid, known as to be the Magid in Tzfas. So the Alshech says, the neshama finds itself in the choymer, in the body, it finds itself in captivity. Imagine, the neshama, the soul of the person on this world, finds itself in captivity. So what comforts the neshama to allow it to stay in the human body? Says the Alshech HaKodesh, Dovra Melch continues, that's the next thing. Ramchal brought the whole posik. Dovka nafshi achrecho. What was the next phrase, next half? Bi tomcho yimenecho. The neshama says, thank God, he says, that your right hand is supporting me. It means that if Hashem's hand is with you, so the neshama feels comfortable because it feels in the presence of Hashem. So the more that a person is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, makes all the more the neshama comfortable to be, in fact, in the body. Because otherwise the neshama cleaves to Hashem, and therefore is so drawn like a magnet which whisks out the neshama from the human body. That's where we find that phenomenon. The Chazal tell us in Masechta Shabbos, as we know, that when he came to Har Sinai, when he came to Matan Torah, Chazal say when they heard the words of Hashem, they died. And Hashem had to be Machai Mason. But he had to revive them. As the Pasuk says, Nafshi Yotzo Bedabroi, that the Neshama actually left, it left the body, Bedabroi, when they heard the Dibur of Hashem. So what happened? He says, when the people heard the words of Hashem, so all of a sudden, the neshama, which heard that coil of Hashem reverberating, The neshama became so attracted to that voice, became attracted to Hashem's voice, to the kedusha of that voice, that didn't remain in the guf anymore. It was just like whisked away like a magnet. Ramchalza was like a magnet. So what Hashem had to do again, a very interesting thing, except Moshe Rabbeinu. How come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die? How come all of Bnei Yisrael died when they heard the words of Hashem? You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's body, says the Al-Sheikh, was Kodesh itself, was holy itself. The neshama was comfortable there. It's in the general bodies of Klal Yisrael, in general, that the neshama didn't feel comfortable hearing the voice of Hashem, and if it was attracted and pulled out like a magnet. Lashon of the Al-Sheikh is, Ach Moshe shegam gufoy hoye kodosh, lo yotzo nafshoy besinai memenu. His neshama taka did not leave his body, because there the neshama taka, in fact, very, very comfortable. So what we see over here is, in fact, what we learned, if we just remember, some of the points, some of the nekudas that Ramchal told us here in Perek Aleph. Number one, said Ramchal, whatever each and every one does, he's not only doing for himself, but he actually influences the level, the madrega, the spiritual level of the world is dependent on each and every person. Every time I do a mitzvah, it's not just that I have become more sanctified, that I've attained more kedusha, I've acquired more kedusha, but I actually have spread kedusha in the world at large. And therefore, not only I become elevated, the world becomes elevated with me. But it works the other way as well. Whenever I do an aveira, when I do something wrong, so not only am I causing a kilkul, and I'm causing a churban in my own life, in my own neshama, but I'm also dragging the world down. The entire world becomes influenced. That is the koich of man. That is the immeasurable power. A person really does not understand the koiches that he has, and the tremendous power, how he affects whatever he does over the entire world. So let's take a look just to see what Rabbi Apian says, wonderful words. We see it on the sheet, but look at side two first. It's item number one on side two. It says side two. You see here, v'ho'oilon mis'ala mimen imoy. Ramchal says that when I do a mitzvah, I not only elevate myself and my neshama, but the entire world. Says Ramchal, say ulmad, says that this is Rav Elie Pian. Rav Elie Pian says in Chelik Beis, say ulmad ze, I will show you this idea, this concept. Very, very fascinating, he says. Machilas Hamon. This last week's parsha, Parshas Bishalach, was the Parshas Hamon of Mon falling in a Shemayim. The Chsiv, what does it say there? It says by the Achil of the Mon, it says by Parshas Shom Zevahibe Yoy Mashishi, was on the sixth day, Erev Shabbos, Lok to Lechem Mishneh. Now we stop right here, Rabbi Yisai. Everybody knows what Lechem Mishneh is. What's Lechem Mishneh? Lechem Mishneh was a double portion, because Shabbos no Mon fell. So Lechem Mishneh means a double portion. Come, Chazal and Rashi brings, and this is a Rashi, and so many people are not even aware of this Rashi. There's a totally different interpretation of Lechem Mishneh. Lechem Mishneh does not need double portion. Lechem Mishneh, Mishneh is from Lashon Shinui, changed, different. What was different? Look at the Rashi here. Behavi Rashi Gamkima Mechilta Shidorshu Lechem Mishneh. The Mechilta Darshan Lechem Mishuneh. Not Lechem Mishneh, a double portion. But Lechem Mishuneh means, what does it mean Lechem Mishuneh? Shabbos, it tasted different. Fascinating thing. Mon was oichel min hashemayim. Mon was heavenly food. So it always had kedusha. It always had kedusha. And people survived and had to eat that, and that's what they ate the entire week. Yet when Shabbos came, that same mon had a totally different taste, a much higher taste. As he points out, it changed the shvach even better in its time and its taste and in its smell. So Rav Elie Pian vinil fanenu dover pele, hafla the fella. You see what he says? Dover pele, hafla the fella. Why? Shai bechol yoim eiz the time shirotol the time b'mon. You know what mon was? Every day, every ordinary day, any taste that you wanted to taste the mon, that's what it tasted like. If you wanted this type of a taste, anything you could imagine, it would taste like that. All you have to do is think of a particular taste. This was the miracle of the mon. It was a miracle food. The taste is exactly that, the favorite food that you like to eat, that's the kind of a taste that it had. Famous Shaul Chofetz Chaim once asked, what happened if somebody ate mon and he didn't think anything? He had no machshava whatsoever. What did the mon taste like without a machshava? Chofetz Chaim said it had no taste, no time at all. Without machshava, there's no time, he says. Person has to be a thinking person. If there's no machshava, no time, no taste. So this is what he points out here. So he says, listen, Says if a whole yom is the time she wrote to lit them tam on how you toyamim. Any taste he wanted to taste, we're able to taste. Bechol zois b'shabes kodesh, he says. Nasa hamon b'pia mishune b'recha b'tamoy. Kloimer. By the way, when was the mon collected? Erev Shabbos. So Erev Shabbos was still a weekday food. But Shabbos, when they ate it, it tastes Shabbos dig. How does that happen? It didn't fall on Shabbos, it fell on the weekday. By the way, the Erev Shabbos portion that I ate still tasted weekday. The second portion that I ate tomorrow, it tasted different. How did it taste different? Everything fell Erev Shabbos. So as he points out, he says, Oysa amon chalokhtim Erev Shabbos v'ochlo menu b'Erev Shabbos. The month that they collected an Erev Shabbos and they ate Erev Shabbos on Friday, lo hoyim argishim tam shal Shabbos boy. Ach miyad kishinichnes ha-Shabbos, but the moment the Shabbos came in, hischil hamon l'heriach reich shal Shabbos. All of a sudden the mon, right, started to acquire a reich shal Shabbos, emitted, exuded. V'nitten boy tam yuchat shal Shabbos. Asks Rabbi Eli Lapian, umehechen kibbel zeh. Where did it come from? The mon was already down here on this earth on Erev Shabbos. Where on Shabbos did it receive this new taste? Where did it come from? It was already here on this world Erev Shabbos, and then it didn't have that taste. So what happened on Shabbos at this mon that the taste of the mon changed on Shabbos? Halikvar yorad lamata mesmo vlohiriyak yishol Shabbos. El, you know what the answer is? Look how Rabbi Eli Lapian, look how he touches this. It says, Viskadashtim isim kedoshim. Shabbos, Eid himself becomes elevated in Kedusha. Viskadashtim isim Kedusha. A weekday Eid is not the same as a Shabbos day Eid. A Eid on Shabbos himself is a much higher level of Kedusha. Al yedei ha-Kedusha shekitsu atzmon b'Shabbos. The fact that they sanctified themselves, hisalu dor hamidbar be'atzmon, so the entire door, right, became elevated, and the mon became elevated with it. In other words, when I do a mitzvah, I not only elevate myself, I elevate the world around me. So the mon was affected by me, because I myself am not the same person when Shabbos comes in as I am during the week. So being that on Shabbos I myself am elevated in Kedusha, so my Kabbalah's Kedusha, my acquiring Kedusha on Shabbos affects the world at large. And mon particularly had that genetic makeup that Kedusha just fills it, that if there is a new air of Kedusha, that it becomes affected more than anything else. Some things are more conductors or more conduits for this, and other things are less. Mon just is very sensitive to accept and receive and attract all sparks of Kedusha. Niskadish v'nisala od yoyser mimashohoye kishiyored mamalo. The air of Shabbos, as when it fell on the air of Shabbos. But this is very fascinating, as we say, this is Mamish Hafla v'fele, as he says. And we see this is the way, this is in his interpretation. Of course, there's other ways of looking at it, but this is the way Rabbi Eli Lapian said, that's why the mon on Shabbos tasted different. You know why? Because you were different. And being that you are different, so the mon also is different. The mon of the week was not the mon of Shabbos. Because you're also not the same. You're not the same person during the week as you are on Shabbos. You become elevated, you elevate yourself. That has effect and spills over and had Kedusha, had an effect on the mon. The mon also reached a higher level of Kedusha. So I want to tell you something fascinating. And that is, that very interesting thing, you know, when it came to the Mabul, because Baruch Hu tells Noach, of course, all the details of the kosher animals, you know, who to take into the Mabul. Take 7 from the kosher animals, right, as he points out. The Behema HaTahoira. And Rashi says there, Behema HaTahoira, where did Noach know? This was before the Torah was given, right? This was before the Torah was given. How did Noach know which is pure, which is impure, the kosher animals are non? So Rashi tells us, Lamadnu Shalomad Noach Torah. This proves to us that Noach learned Torah. In other words, we know that there were yeshivas at that time, even before Matan Torah. You know, there's the yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. There was Torah. There was no official Matan Torah. But Yechidis Gula were those who had Torah. Noach learned Torah. And Rashi brings it. So the question is, of course, you know, the Gemara says in Zvachim Daf Kuf Tezayin, I want to tell you something. The Gemara says in Zvachim Daf Kuf Tezayin that when the animals came to the Teva, you know, it's natural instincts that animal and human beings, anything that's alive, there's a drive for survival. And all of a sudden, when one's life is at stake, you're capable of doing superhuman feats. We know that in history. We see that all the time. When life is challenged, person put into a corner, You're capable of doing things that normally you don't even believe. There's some hidden strength that emerges, the adrenaline and the forces. The forces of survival are so strong that allow a person to do things that he never thought capable. So animals tried to survive. They all tried to push themselves into the teva. They all wanted to survive. What happened? So Rashi says in Segimar and Zvachim, Davov, Kol shahateva koil tison biyidu Hashem tehoirin. Ein hateva koil tison biyidu Hashem tenayim. In other words, the teva determined. The teva today, it's a sad state of affairs. You have all the metal detectors that let you in or don't let you in. The teva also detected kosher animals and was able to discriminate between the kosher and the non-kosher. Detectors, it's an old thing. Kol shahateva koil tison. If the teva was koilet, you knew it was tar. The teva allowed it to come in, you knew it was a kosher animal. In other words, the teva itself blocked the way for the non-kosher animals. So the question is, so how do you know that Noach learned Torah? How do you know that Noach learned Torah? Rashi says that Noach learned Torah, that's how we knew which was the kosher animals and non-kosher. How do you know? No. The reason that we knew which is kosher, which is non-kosher, because the teva had this magical, this tremendous koyach. Right, min hashamayim, to be able to discriminate and to discern which in fact is kosher, which is not kosher. It's clearly said that the teva really determined which was supposed to come in, which was not supposed to come in. So how do you know that Noach learned Torah? And an answer that is suggested is as follows, which is mamish, which is in tune with what Ramchal is saying over here. You know, the Beis Halevi raises the question, he points out, he says, it's a fascinating thing that the time of the Mabul, right, there was hashchose, that which means that not only humans change their natural behavior, but even the animal world, they began to mate and marry, right? Not from the same kind. So they intermarried, even the animals intermarried. And the Beis Halevi once asked the Poshta Kashi, he says, you can understand that people sometimes can reduce themselves to the lowest behavior because they have a Yetzirah. They have an evil inclination, right? So they have a Yetzirah, they have the drive. Namelu, that's the way. So this is what they do. But animals are created by nature in one specific way. What can cause them to change? There's no intellectual choice that they can make. It's how they're created. And if they're created in one way, right, to marry their own kind, so what happened all of a sudden by the Dora Mabel, Kehishchus Kolboses Darkoi, that animals all of a sudden decided to change their ways? How does that happen? How do animals do that? And the Beis Halevi tells us that in the same way, you know, we can learn behavior, man can learn behavior. If I do things 5 times, 10 times, 20 times, I'll do it for a year straight, I will acquire, this will be a newly learned behavior. That's a klal. Things, it becomes what you say, second nature. What second nature means? It was not first nature. But I'm able to change my nature. If I keep doing something long enough, this now becomes my nature. This we all understand. This is called second nature. Teva Sheni. Beis Halevi says, when I do something, it does not only become second nature for me, it has influence on the world at large. My behavior, he says, has influence. And he says, even if I'm choite, even if I sin, betzina, in privacy, no one saw me. So it's not like having influence. In most cases, there's influence when people see what you do. But he says, there's something innate in the behavior of man, that the power of man is to determine the level of the world, whether the world goes up, whether the world goes down. So when you are choite, says the Beis Halevi, even betzina, it's like you are injecting pollution in the world. There's physical pollution, there's physical bacteria, and then there's spiritual bacteria. Says the Beis Halevi, when I sin, even betzina, in the privacy of my own home, nobody saw me. But the fact that I did this and this, so Mila, now I am spreading, he says, this koyach of Ra, I am now strengthening. I'm strengthening and putting into the world this koyach that what I am practicing, I'm bringing it and I'm strengthening. So if my indulgence is taiva, I am now bringing more taiva into the world. So interesting thing, the taiva of the world feeds on itself. The more taiva that people practice causes more taiva to be in the world. The more taiva there's in the world, so I'm now tempted even more, causing me to do more. And the more that I do, I cause it more in the world. I'm bringing it more into the world. So this is an ever-revolving circle. And therefore he says, being that the world is influenced by the behavior of man, when mankind at large, reduced itself to the lowest level, it influenced even the animal world. The Beis Halevi says, that's where Kehishchus Kolboses Darkoi happened, because of me. because of all the people who lived at the time, and they reduced themselves to the lowest behavior of taiva to hashchosa, that influenced and changed. Look, becomes second nature to me, it becomes second nature to the world at large. You don't see it. This creeps up little by little. And it has an effect. It has an effect. It eats itself in. It eats itself in through and through and through until it has total, has complete influences. This is the way, this is the discipline of how Hashem created the world. It says, the way most behavior of man, what it is, this is the way the world is going to look like. He says, this is going to be, so Mameli points out also, lehefek also, it's zelum azeh, the opposite is also true. The more mitzvahs I do, the more ma'asim toivim I do, the more chesed I do, the more kedusha I do, I also spread kedusha in the world. It works both ways. It's not only on the tzad of tum, it's not just on the negative side. It's also on the tzad of kedusha. That I am able even to inject kedusha, by the way, even in inanimate objects, even objects that are not alive. Everything, the world becomes elevated. The more kedusha that I perform in the world, that spills over in the world, and the entire world now becomes elevated. Becomes elevated in kedusha. What do you see that? Chamoy Rosh Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer. For example, Pinchas Ben Yoyer, he had a chamor. And Chazal tell us amazing things about the chamor. You think that this chamor was a tzaddik. The chamor didn't want to eat food that was not tied, food that was not gemaisir, didn't want to eat it. Because it was under the kedusha of Pinchas Ben Yoyer, had effect on even on his chamor. And so on and so forth. Through the positive pe'ulas that a person does, he's goyim even to behemis to be nimshach after toiv. After toiv. By the way, it is well known. B'shem the goyin, the Vilna goyin once said, that lu yitzoyer, he said, if it would be possible, if it would be possible to build a Beis Medrash, he said, only with machshavas kedoshes, if you can find builders, that build a Beis Medrash with holy and pure machshavas, this would be goyrim, that anyone who steps into the Beis Medrash, he says, would only have pure machshavas in the Beis Medrash. Because the Beis Medrash would be influenced, the Kedusha Beis Medrash would be influenced by the machshavas of those who were involved with it. The koyach of the pe'ul of man, right, to influence even inanimate objects. Oy bazoy, true. Let's go back to the question. Yes, we see that the Teva had a koyach to discern, to know which is Torah, which is Tomeh. How did the Teva, an inanimate object, get that koyach? Because Noach learned Torah. Noach's Torah gave the koyach to the Teva. Where did the Teva get that koyach from, to be able to know and to feel and to discern which is a behemoth Torah, which is not a behemoth Torah? Teva's Noach. Noach learned Torah. And the Kedusha of Noach's Torah, who knew the halachas of which is Torah and which is Tomeh, that Torah that Noach learned, which is Torah and which is Tomeh, he was poil a Teva of Kedusha also in the Teva, that the Teva should be able to be koilet only davke Tehoirim. And by the way, many people think it's just a moshel, but now maybe it's not just a moshel. You know what the Gemara tells us? After 120 years, you know, when the time comes, and the neshama goes up to Shemayim, and everybody has to give din v'cheshvan, so they can ask the neshama, listen, what was your career here down here in this world? It may not want to reveal everything. So in Shemayim, they're going to bring witnesses. Who do you think some of the witnesses are going to be that are going to testify against you? You say to yourself, a lot of things I did in the privacy of my own home, nobody saw. It says the Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud Aleph, Beisoy Shalodom Vekoiroiz Beisoy Ma'idim Almasov. His house will testify. The beams of the house will testify. Beisoy Shalodom. The house and the beams will testify. Whether he did good, whether he did bad. You know why? Because when you did bad, you had an effect on the house itself. Your house changed. When you did good, your house became a bias or kedusha. It's not just kedusha performed in the bias, but the bias itself, in fact, became a bias or kedusha. This is the koyach. Maybe that's what we say to Achosim Kala, build a bias nemon, because what you do is not just what you're doing, your bias becomes kodesh. It's not just a hanhogi in the bias, but your bias itself becomes elevated. The inanimate object, the stones, yes, the beams, the roof. Because what you do has influence on the entire world and certainly, mostly, on your immediate surroundings. That's basically, in a nutshell, what Ramchal says. That the world is misala, rises up with him. That is the koyach of man. That is the koyach, in fact, of the influence of man. Now, the other thing that we have here on the sheet, which we can do very quickly, just have a few minutes left, let's take a look on the other side. Seems like the long side here. A little scary here. That we have over here, and that is because Ramchal also told us, by the way, above, another thing about man, the power of man. that whatever man does, whether it's l'toyv or l'ra, not only, right, he raises or lowers the world, the standards of the world itself is either lowered, the barometer of the world. But Ramchal also said, man has the power to rise higher above the malochim. He's in a higher madriga than malochim, than angels. Ramchal says the malochim are created one way, but man with his avoida has the ability to rise higher than malochim. So before anything, I just want to read you something. You don't have it here on the sheet. And this is basically from the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Sazria, of Levi Yitzchak Ba'adishim. Kedushas Levi says in Parshas Sazria, he says, B'shem the Magid. It's unbelievable words, and for that alone, everything is Kedai. Listen to what he says. He says, the Gemara says like this. Okay, but furthermore he says, one of the Gemara he says is, the Gemara says, Yisroel mefarnes en lavim shebeshamayim. Klal Yisroel give parnos at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you understand that? We give parnosa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh gives us parnosa. What does it mean that Chalish will give parnosa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We sustain Hashem. Hashem gives us everything we need. The Jesus Levi says, Yisroel mefanas en avim shebashamayim. Because it says in Mishlei, Ben Chocham Yismachav. If one has a son of Chocham, the father has tremendous simcha. Ben Chocham Yismachav. So when we do mitzvahs, Da'ayne b'ma she'onu oise mitzvahs amasim toivim, this gives pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine we have the ability. We can give pleasure to Hashem. You. We can give pleasure to Hashem. It's incredible even to behold such a thought. Human being. Ofer HaMadoma. Earthly person. Nothing. That's what it means. The Tanug is called Panosa. The pleasure that we can give Hashem. We give Hashem pleasure when we do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. But then he goes further. And he says, Lefize, listen to what he says. Eich roi, according to this, now that you know that, Eich roi l'chol isha Yisraeli, how appropriate it is for every Yid, lasa is mitzvah u'masim tovim, b'chdei sheyagia hatanug mizeh l'aboi re-baruch hu. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, should receive pleasure. Now you have to understand something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs pleasure from us. Yisrael mefanesen, you realize that we're outnumbered? In Shemayim there are millions and millions of angels, millions of malachim. And those malachim say, Kodosh, 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 Hashem Tzevokos, Meloich HaLoretz Kevoidoi. They're praising Hashem! Malachim! Malachi Elakim are praising Hashem! Hashem needs us to give Him Panose. Hashem needs our Avodas Hashem to give pleasure to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says as follows. He says, "Haloi l'Kadosh Baruch Hu yishkam alofim malochim sheimoyimrim kodesh 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 ve'eim ubeyira." And by the way, when they say kodesh, it's not like we say kodesh. They say kodesh with eim and ayira, with the energy of fear and awe. The fear and an awe that only malochim, we can't match that. No. So what is the higher avoda? So now you have malochim doing avodas Hashem. He says, "Bashemei matmiya." He says, imagine if you'd be able to listen to what the malachim are saying, Kodesh, Kodesh. So he said, but you know what the pshat is, he says. But the answer is, he says, people can talk. People can talk. So imagine if you meet an acquaintance and you say, you know, I'm very proud of my son. Really? What did he achieve? You know, my son is able to speak English. He's able to speak English? Big deal, he's able to speak English. Where was he born? He wasn't born in Africa, he was born here in America. So they speak English. Very good. No Kiddush. But let's say I tell you something else. I have a bird. And I taught him how to speak English. If a bird can speak English, that's a tremendous Kiddush. What do you have, a talking bird? That you don't see. From Malachim to serve Hashem, that's no big deal. They are created fully, spiritually, mitchilosam, atzoifam, from beginning to end. But man, to serve Hashem, to seek and to pursue ruchnius, that is similar to a bird being able to talk. We are material beings physically. And therefore, when a person is able to overcome and to be able to subdue and to be able to curb and to be able to chain and to be able to control and to be able to elevate himself above and beyond those needs and to dedicate his life, and when a Yid says Kodesh Kodesh, that gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more pleasure than when the Malach says. If a human being is able to talk, that's one thing. Teach an animal how to talk, that'll be a big chiddush. This is the human animal. Human animal. So therefore he says, Im Kain, Atem b'nei Odom, Pitchu Enechem, open your eyes, he says. Re'u goydul malas mitzvah umasim tovim. Achikola avoides malachei malo, chashuvim ke'ayin neged maaseh b'nei odom. Listen to this again. Look at the greatness of your mitzvah umasim tovim. Shikola avoides malachei malo, all of the avoides of malachim, chashuvim ke'ayin neged maaseh b'nei odom. Are considered to be like nothing, not greater, compared to the avoid of man. All of the malachim are like nothing. That is an amazing thing to behold, this idea. This is the koyach. We'll conclude. We won't do the inside. I just want you to look at the medrash, three lines, and we conclude with this. And this is just merely supplemented, just to finish this thought. Let's take a look here. This bracious rabbah, look at the sheet as we have here, Shara Simcha. The Shara Simcha, by the way, Rabbi Yisai, was really the Shevet Sofer. Starts with the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer's son was, who succeeded him was the Ksav Sofer. He had a number of sons, but the son that succeeded him was the Ksav Sofer. And the son of the Ksav Sofer was the Shevet Sofer. The Shevet Sofer, Al HaTorah, the Sefer Al HaTorah is called Shari Simcha. Recently it was reprinted by grandchildren of the Shevet Sofer. And Rav Ozna said that on the title, the Mituch HaLokim, did a lot of work on it. So they reprinted it with a lot of hisophis and a lot of additions. And Rav Ozna said that on the cover they should write Shevet Sofer and a small letter Shara Simcha. Because most people, when they see Shara Simcha, they don't know who it is. Shevet Sofer, everybody heard of. If they did. But Shara Simcha, they don't know who it is. But Shara Simcha is the Shevet Sofer. Just look at the Medrash that he quotes, and I'm stopping with that. Just take a look at the Medrash. The Medrash is in Perek Tes. Listen to this, in Brachos. Again, man. What is the power of man? What is the koyach of man? Omer Rabbi Yishai, Bishoah Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam Harishon, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Harishon, Tohu Bo'i Malachei Hasharis. In other words, the Malachei Hasharis, the very first time they saw man, you can imagine, you look at people, human beings today, you don't think that he's a Malach, he's an angel. But first man, Adam Harishon, did not look like any one of us here, simply. After the Chet, he was reduced, after he sinned. But looking at the Marishan, when he was first created, the Malachim thought that he is an extension of Hashem himself. And they wanted to serve him. In the same way that the Malachim say, Kodesh, Kodesh. The same way that the Malachim. So, Bikshu Loim Elefon of Kodesh. Amazing thing. The angels, when they saw the Marishan, they thought that this is some heavenly being. So they wanted to say Kodesh before him. Ma'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu, what did Kodesh Baruch Hu do? Miyad Hippel Olof Tardemo. He put him to sleep, right? Once he's asleep, this can't be any kind of a God. A God can't fall asleep. This has to be stama yumbi. An angel doesn't fall asleep either. A malach, suf tishan, don't fall asleep. If he's able to fall asleep, he can't be anything that special. So, v'yodu hakul shu odom. Hadod ha'chsiv is the pasuk that says in Yeshaya, chidlu lochem min odom. The Novi says, withdraw from man, ashe nishoma bapoi. He has a neshama within him because, why withdraw from him? Because what is he? What is man? So looking at this medrash the way you look at it, right? This medrash actually is reducing man, right? He's reducing man. In other words, they wanted to say Kodesh Lefonov. What does the Kodesh Lefonov mean? Lefonov means in front of him. They want to say Kodesh in front of him. He thought he was a heavenly being. Hashem put him to sleep. This is just a human being. Amen. Nothing. Right? So they were disappointed maybe. But that's it. Now they found out the truth of man. What the Shevet Sofer says is just the opposite. He says the opposite is true. Do you realize that Malachim say Kodesh, Kodesh, Hashem, Tzevokos, but the Gemara Chum says they only say Kodesh after man. In other words, man says Kodesh first, and the Malachim say it after. In other words, Malachim have to wait until the human beings down here in this little world over here, until we praise Hashem first, and it's after we give Hashem our praise. It is after that the Malachim say Kodesh. That is the Lashon of the Gemara. The Malachim say Kodesh after man. The Malachim looked at this phenomenon, they said, We say Kodesh after man. Man is nothing. What is man? We should be saying Kodesh before him. So take the same words now, the Medrash. Bikshu Malachi Ashores, the Malachim wanted to say Lefonov Kodesh, before him, not in front of him. Totally different shot. Lefonov. They said, how come we're after him? Why are we last? Why is man first? Big Shalomah Lefonov says the Shevet Sofer Lefonov means they wanted to say before him. Comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you know how choshev? Do you know how I appreciate the avodas Hashem of a person. Kadosh Baruch Hu went and put him to sleep. You see what this person is? He's nothing. He's human. Human being serves Hashem. Do you know how choshev it is? He serves me before you. This is what the Medrash is telling us. So it's mamish in reverse. The pshat of the Medrash is the opposite. The Malachim now came to a realization that they become bottle to man. They first wanted to say, Lithonov Kaddish, not in front of him, before him. And Kadosh Baruch Hu puts them to sleep. Now they recognize. They say to themselves, if we would be like him, we could never be able to make it and be able to serve Hashem. We'd never be able to conquer the Yetzer Hara. We'd never be able to meet all of those obstacles and be able to overthrow all those challenges. Malachim themselves understood. Yisrael Rabbeis and Mefarnas and Adim Shav HaShemayim. We have this unique opportunity to give panos to Kadosh Baruch Hu through our mitzvahs and masim tovim. We should be zeichet to continue to grow in our Kriya Navodis Hashem till the Malachim Taki have kin upon us and we Taki have showed ourselves to be worthy of being Taki Bonim Lamokim and Oiv the Hashem Lamokim.